the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a good day.
Yes, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah. It's a beautiful day. So far, so good, right? No rain?
No rain.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear about the weather later, but let's start this morning with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of might, giver of every good gift, put into our hearts the love of your name, so that by deepening our sense of reverence, and by your watchful care, keep safe what you have nurtured. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Giles, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a jam-packed show for you today, starting off talking about an event coming to Xavier and Loyola University in New Orleans called the Catholic Business Leader, a New Orleans Symposium. Father Nathan O'Halloran, Assistant Professor of Religious Studies and Director of Catholic Studies Program at Loyola, will give us details about this. The event is free, and just a little hint, Cardinal Peter Turkson is flying in just to come to this event and participate. So stay tuned for details. It's going to be a really good one. Kristen Van Uden joins us in 18 minutes. She's an author spokesperson at Sophia Institute Press. And today she's going to be talking about the book, The Diary of Saint Gemma. I don't know much about this saint, so I'm looking forward to hearing more from Kristen.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good one with Kristen. In 35 minutes, Sharon Rohde joins us. She's an Access Pregnancy board member, and she's going to be talking about the 50th anniversary of Catholic Charities Access Pregnancy Centers. Sharon Rohde has been in the pro-life game for years, and I mean years, and she is so devoted to the pro-life community. She's going to be giving us details about this event. And in 48 minutes, Margaret Miller joins us. She's a parishioner at St. Alphonsus Parish in Ocean Springs. It's in the Diocese of Biloxi. She's going to be talking about the Walking with Moms in Need program. Damian, we've been talking about this here and there every now and then. This is such an important program. I'm looking forward to speaking with Margaret about it a little bit more.
Yes, and it's a program supported by the American bishops, and we're going to learn a lot more about it this morning. In the meantime, it should be a nice day with plenty of sunshine. Boy, is that good news. Mm-hmm. Few clouds and only a 15% chance of showers. Wow is right, yes. And with that being said, guess what? Hot temperatures come along with that. Yeah. High today, 94, but that's okay. We could bear with that. Winds out of the northeast at 5 miles an hour. Tomorrow should be very similar to what we're having today. But guess what? Come Saturday and Sunday, back to the old rainy day afternoons and 70% chances come Saturday and Sunday. So get what you can done outside if possible. Temperatures in and around the area. Over in Biloxi, it's 76 degrees. New Orleans, 82 already. In Ponchatoula and Hammond, it's 75. Thibodaux, 78. And in Baton Rouge, 78 degrees. So just glad to dry out a little bit.
No kidding. Now, I thought there was supposed to be a bunch of rain tomorrow night for the first home game of the St. Michael Warriors in Baton Rouge, but maybe not.
Well, it may start sneaking in. It really depends.
Okay. But well, let's hope that rain stays away. Yeah. I think a lot of high schools are having their first football games kicking off tomorrow night. So let's hope.
Now, when you say first real game, the jamborees
are done? They did the jamboree and all that stuff. Yep, this first real game.
All right. Well, good. Well, we've got some real stories coming your way, including one with Father Nathan O'Halloran in just a moment. It's 5 after on Wake Up.
Good morning. Today's gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 5. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him, and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him.
It's 7:09. Thanks for being with us. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Alicia Quibido. Father Nathan O'Halloran joins me in the New Orleans studio. He's the Assistant Professor of Religious Studies and Director of Catholic Studies Program at Loyola University in New Orleans. Good morning, Father Nathan.
Good morning.
It's good to have you with us today. And today we're going to be talking about the Catholic Business Leader, a New Orleans symposium event. Tell us a little bit about this. Who's coming? This is such a big event with really great speakers as well.
It is. And last year, Dr. Jose Bautista over at Xavier and I got together, and this had been a dream of his to put on a conference like this. And so we just started talking about who we wanted to bring, and he really wanted to bring Cardinal Turkson from Ghana, who works at the Vatican. He had been the former prefect for the Dicastery for integral development, and the theme for the conference we want to be this idea of what it means to have a vocation as a business leader, and that's what Cardinal Turkson has written about. So we've asked him to come, and he very graciously accepted.
That's amazing. So the vocation of the business leader, so is this conference just for those in the business community?
We want this conference to be for, first of all, those who are in the business community who want to understand better their work as a vocation. We also want it to be for anyone who wants to understand how Catholic social teaching applies to the life of business, right? The world of business, of economics. And then for all of our students, right? We're inviting all of our students at Loyola to come and learn more about how these two often seemingly separated elements of life, how they connect with one another, our faith and the world of business, the realm of business.
Yeah, so the conference is coming up. It's only a few weeks away. It's going to take place September 29th through October 1st. So that's a Thursday through a Saturday. And the event is free.
The event is free. That's right. We've been able to fund it completely. Thanks be to God.
That's amazing. So talk about some of the people who will be. So there's going to be sessions and panelists of different business leaders in the local New Orleans area, but also national guests as well. And one of the keynote speakers is Chris Lowney, and he is an author. So he's also going to be coming in.
Yeah, Chris Lowney has written very extensively on leadership from a Jesuit perspective. What he did in his first book, Heroic Leadership, is he took the example of early Jesuit saints and showed how their practice exemplifies what it means to be a leader. So he'll talk about leadership, leadership within a corporation, leadership within a company, his own prior experience before becoming a full-time author. And then the way we've set up the panels is basically we want an academic to talk first from a theoretical perspective for about 15 minutes. That's the chair of a panel. But then we've basically placed on the panel three or four business leaders, either from New Orleans or from the South, who are going to then apply that principle, solidarity, for example, or subsidiarity, or just wage, or human dignity, some principle of Catholic social teaching. They'll then apply that theory to the practice of their own business, how they apply that within their own business that they run.
Mm-hmm. So this is sponsored by Xavier University, Loyola University, and also the Catholic Community Foundation, that we're very familiar with them as well. Mm-hmm. There will be lunches provided. Like we said, the event is free. Who is there an age group that you encourage to go? Do you think it should be business leaders attending? But what if you're not in the realm of owning your own company or anything like that, but you're interested?
We want to cast a wide net. We want to cast a wide net. I think the gospel today, right?
Right.
Luke chapter 5, wide net. So, you know, it's free and open to the public. And, you know, we want to invite anyone to go to the website, the Catholic Community Foundation website, and register and come. Basically, if you have an interest in the topic, we'd love to have you there.
Right? Yeah.
We'll provide meals. We'll provide the materials that you need. And we just love, you know, through the generosity, I direct the Cannizzaro Center for Catholic Studies, and through the generosity of that center, as well as through the generosity of so many others, we're going to be able to provide what people need.
Yeah, and the conference is going to be, or the symposium will be at Xavier and Loyola. There's a schedule. Go to ccfnola.org. It's right there on the homepage, or you can click on News and Events. We have about a minute left, Father Nathan. Before we let you go, maybe ask for a priestly blessing from you.
Sure. The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
Lord, I pray this morning that you would reach the hearts of all those who are listening. All of us carry a burden, some secret thing that maybe no one else knows about. And I ask at this moment that you would give us the courage to release that to you, so that you can take that away from us and give us the day that you want us to have, the day of following you with all of our hearts. And so I invoke on you the blessing of the Most Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Nathan, for joining us
today. You're welcome. Thanks for letting me talk about the conference.
Absolutely. CCFNOLA.org is where you can go and register. There's, like I said, a schedule, more information. I also linked the website in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. That is Wake Up Thursday. Yes, stay with us, because when we come back, we'll be talking to Kristen Van Uden from Sophia Institute Press on the Diary of St. Gemma. It is 15 past the hour. Wake up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 1st. Today we celebrate St. Giles. Despite the fact that much about St. Giles is shrouded in mystery, we can say that he was one of the most popular saints in the Middle Ages. Likely, Giles was born around the year 650 in southeastern France. He spent many solitary years in a nearby forest with only a deer as a companion. A monastery built there in his honor became a popular stopping-off point for pilgrims making their way to Compostela in Spain and the Holy Land. In England, many ancient churches and hospitals were dedicated to Giles. A section of the city of Brussels is named after him. In Germany, Giles was included among the 14 Holy Helpers, a popular group of saints to whom people prayed, especially for recovery from disease and for strength at the hour of death. Saints Christopher, Barbara, and Blaise also were among the 14. Devotion to the Holy Helpers was especially strong in parts of Germany, Hungary, and Sweden. Soon, Giles also was invoked as the patron of the poor and the disabled. Pictured in medieval art with his symbol, the hind, St. Giles died in 710. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Morning. It's 18 minutes past the hour on Wake Up. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. We are joined this segment with Kristen Van Uden. She is an author spokesperson at Sophia Institute Press. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Well, we love having you on. And this is wonderful. This is the Diary of St. Gemma. And she is fascinating and such an interesting story. Let's just jump right in and tell our listeners who are not familiar with St. Gemma just a little bit about her.
Sure. So St. Gemma Galgani was a pretty contemporary mystic saint. So she lived from 1878 to 1903, died at the young age of 25. And she lived in the small town of Lucca in Italy. And despite her very, basically very poor background and very humble circumstances, she was granted some of the most amazing visions of Jesus, Our Lady, her guardian angel, and several saints and souls from purgatory than really many other saints that I have read about in the past couple of years. She spoke to Jesus almost daily, and at a certain point in her life, until the end of her life, she was granted the gift of the stigmata. So the stigmata would appear every Thursday evening to coincide with the agony of the garden to begin Christ's passion, and then would remain each week until early Saturday morning or late Friday evening. So basically she had this passion of Christ where she participated in his passion every week. She also had the crown of thorns as part of her stigmata, and she recounts in the diary how Jesus himself would come to place it on her head and then to remove it and to ask her to offer up her sufferings for the souls in purgatory and also sinners on the earth.
Wow.
She had a very fascinating life because she wanted to be a Passionist nun. Mm-hmm. So the Passionists had a convent right near her, and of course with her great devotion to the passion of Jesus, this makes sense. But in addition to her sufferings for souls, she was also quite sick throughout her life. So she had meningitis, she had tuberculosis, and she was never actually able to join the convent. But we see that she lived out this Passionist vocation in a very unique and special way within the world, which is often sometimes harder because she had many distractions. Her family was quite hostile to her sanctity. And so it was actually harder for her to live out this vocation in her family life than it would have been in the convent. So she had to work even harder to maintain devotion to Jesus throughout all of that.
Wow. She has such an amazing story. And my understanding is that her spiritual director is the one who, what I've read is not just encouraged her, but almost required of her to write, to keep a diary.
That's right. And we see this with the lives of the saints often, is that they think that their stories are unremarkable. So Saint Therese is a similar story where she was ordered to write her diary. And her spiritual director, in Gemma's case, knew that this would have help for souls because of just Gemma's humility, her very acute awareness of sin, because of her mystical relationship with Jesus, she could see how deeply each of her sins wounded him, and that really caused her to turn away from all sin, even venial, and to turn away from temptation. So it has this very convicting effect in the reader to basically avoid sin at all costs. One of the things that happens in the diary is her guardian angel will admonish her often for even the smallest sins, and so she uses the word, "He yelled at me."
Yes, yes.
He also provided a very comforting presence in her life. The most famous anecdote is when he brought her coffee in bed once. So this diary does have that effect. And so we can see that the devil especially did not want the diary to come to print. So an interesting thing happened is that after Gemma wrote this down, it was pretty much complete. She would keep it in a drawer in her bedroom. And one day the devil or demon, maybe the devil himself or maybe just a different demon, appeared, which was often happened in her life, just like in the life of Padre Pio. She would be even sometimes physically assaulted by demons. A demon appeared, and this was just a regular occurrence in Gemma's life, and said that he was going to take the diary because of all of the efficacious benefits it would provide to souls. And the diary disappeared, and her spiritual director, upon hearing this, performed an exorcism over the diary, regardless of where it was at that moment. And after he had done that, it reappeared in her drawer, singed by fire.
Oh my goodness.
It's understood that the demon took this diary to hell, and through the power of this exorcism, it was returned. And even though it was burned, it was still legible. So that's why we have it today in its full form.
Wow. It's amazing and interesting, you know, and I think a lot of us are not necessarily in touch with our guardian angel, but her guardian angel was with her frequently and sometimes would even take messages or her confessions back to her confessor in Rome.
He would. She would leave letters under her pillow, and her guardian angel could deliver these either to people living and sometimes even to some of the saints she was in communication with. One saint that appeared to her frequently, she refers to in the diary as Brother Gabriel. And he was actually just a venerable at the time of her life, so he has since been canonized. And he is Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows. He was also a Passionist monk, so very close to Gemma's heart. He lived in the similar region in Italy, and he also died young at 23, I believe. So her correspondence with him was facilitated by her guardian angel, and he would also appear directly to her.
Wow. Wow. It's such an amazing story and such a short life that she lived. But she had all of these different attacks, and she had one of her sins that she dealt with was vanity.
Yeah, that was very surprising to me because
you look at
Gemma's life and she's so holy. It's like, how could you have sin? But
right.
We see often that the holiest people are the ones who have the greatest awareness of sin. Mm. Because as you grow in sanctity, it becomes more and more obvious how each little sin hurts Jesus.
Yes.
And they really are masters of perfect contrition, where you're sorry for your sins, not just out of fear of hell or knowing that it's wrong intellectually, mm-hmm. but because of the pain that it inflicts on Jesus. And so often, if you hear somebody say that they're not sinful, that's probably a sign that they are,
right.
and they're not paying attention.
Right.
But Gemma had self-diagnosed her predominant fault as vanity. And this is the first time her guardian angel appeared to her, actually, was to rebuke her for wearing a gold watch and chain outside, mm-hmm. and she wasn't doing necessarily anything sinful, but she was walking around town, kind of showing off this new piece of jewelry, and he said to her something like, the jewelry that can adorn a bride of Christ can only be the crown of thorns and the cross.
Mm.
So,
wow,
really made clear to her that this world will pass away, and that this jewelry, even though it's not sinful in and of itself to wear, it was becoming a hindrance to her sanctity, and there are other stories from her life where she was prevented, for example, by her spiritual director from taking these almsgiving walks that she was accustomed
yes.
to taking. And they were very good in and of themselves, but they were also providing a temptation to her to become more of the world and to be distracted from her spiritual life. So
wow.
she had to give that up for the greater good of her interior life.
Wow. We're visiting this morning with Kristen Van Uden. She's an author spokesperson at Sophia Institute Press, and we're talking about the Diary of St. Gemma. St. Gemma's feast day is April 11th, and let our listeners know who St. Gemma is the patron saint of.
So she's the patron saint against temptations because she faced so many temptations throughout her life, including directly from these demons who would appear to her. They would physically assault her, but then they would also try to get her to sin, which she always cites as the worst possible thing they could do because that put her soul in much more danger than any of these assaults. So she struggled with temptations throughout her short life, and she is a great person to invoke for help with temptation. She's also patroness of people with back problems because she suffered from such back pain her whole life. And an interesting one is patron of paratroopers, and that's because some Italian paratroopers in the Second World War, right after she was canonized in 1940, prayed to her for safety, and the local convent actually sewed relics of St. Gemma into each of their parachutes, and they all survived unscathed, and one even recounts a situation where his parachute did not open the first couple times he tried. But he prayed to St. Gemma and tried again, and then it opened. So
wow.
kind of a random one, but she is still active within the world.
I love that. I love that. There are some other wonderful stories of people, of her appearing to them. And she is just an amazing saint. And I did not know that much about her until coming across the Diary of St. Gemma. Let our listeners know where they can find a copy of the Diary of St. Gemma.
So the best place to get it is at our website directly, sophiainstitute.com.
Wonderful. And there are lots of wonderful things that you can receive from when you read this book, talking about overcoming struggles in prayer and obedience and with defeat of the enemy. It's really a book for everyone. What do you think, Kristen?
I think so, definitely. And there's definitely something to be said about reading the saints in their own words.
Yes.
Because we've become so accustomed to reading third-party biographies, which sometimes leave out some of these interior struggles simply because they don't know.
Yes.
And so this is such an intimate portrait that Gemma leaves nothing on the table. She really puts it all on the table. She talks about her sins, her struggles, and all of these daily recommitments that she makes to overcome each of these temptations that I think would not be obvious to an outside observer. So
yes,
it's very helpful to get this inside portrait of what exactly it means to live the life of sanctity. Oh,
wonderful. Kristen Van Uden with Sophia Institute Press, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Check out The Diary of St. Gemma at sophiainstitute.com. Hey, stick around. Sharon Rohde is joining us to talk about Access Pregnancy Center's 50th anniversary. It's 30 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
It is 35 past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in to Wake Up this morning. So glad to have our next guest, Sharon Rohde, joins us. She is an Access Pregnancy board member. And today she's going to talk about the 50th anniversary of Catholic Charities Access Pregnancy Centers. Hey, Sharon, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. It's so good to have you with us today. You have been in the pro-life community for a long time, and I see you at every March for Life in Washington, D.C. You were always involved in different pro-life groups and ministries across the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Tell us a little bit about your role with Access Pregnancy and the services that they provide.
Sure. Well, I've been involved with Access since shortly after they began. Archbishop Hannon started Access, which was not originally called Access. It was New Life at that time, but some years after became Access and it came under the auspices of the Catholic Charities. And I became a board member in 1973, right after Roe v. Wade, when Archbishop Hannon put a call out to all the parishes asking people to volunteer to help with a pregnancy center that he had begun in light of the Roe v. Wade decision. Actually, he began it before Roe v. Wade because he could see that the landscape in the country was changing and that we needed to be ready to have help for women who were looking to have abortions or considering abortions. So he set up this Access Pregnancy Center, our New Life at the time, prior to Roe v. Wade, even though we had no abortion clinics here in New Orleans, and we were an all-volunteer organization for many years, and we had 24-hour service, we had an office, and we had also overnight call-in telephone calls and on the weekend. So we've been in operation for over 50 years, and this year we're celebrating our 50 plus years because we couldn't do it in our 50th year in 2021 because of COVID. So here we are doing it this year, and we're excited to be having this on Thursday, September 15th at Metairie Country Club. We're having a gala, which we're calling a Jazzing Jubilee. And it's going to be our biggest event ever because we started with our fundraisers that we'd have annually in people's homes, and then we outgrew that and we went to larger venues. But then this is, and those were usually brunches, and now we're moving to Metairie Country Club for a dinner gala.
That's amazing. Okay, so can people go to the website and sign up? Because that is just around the corner, September 15th.
It is, yes. People can go to the website, which is CCANO. That's CCANO, Catholic Charities Archdiocese New Orleans is what it stands for. CCANO.org/50th. That's 50th. Anniversary. So I'll say it again because it's a mouthful and it's long to write. CCANO.org/50th anniversary. Or you can call at 504-832-1503. And that number is 504-832-1503. And we're anxious to have new friends join us. And, of course, we've tried to find our old full-time volunteers and people who have supported us in the past, but we haven't been able to locate everybody. So if anyone listening has been involved with Access in the past, we really want to reach out to people to join us here, because this will be a reunion of old friends and also making new friends, because this is a time when we definitely need a lot of new friends, as the need is great here after the passing of the reversal of Roe v. Wade, and we need so much more, because we of course the abortion clinics have closed in Louisiana, and which is a good thing, but then that is a much bigger burden on pregnancy centers in Louisiana, and especially in the New Orleans area. And so we're reaching out, and we're trying to help women as best we can, and that means helping them during their pregnancy and after their pregnancy. And that is what Access does. We help women with ultrasounds. We help them sign up for Medicare. We help them. We provide 100,000 diapers annually to women who are in need of them for their children. We provide baby supplies, layettes, and strollers, and whatever we can to help them. And also, many of the parishes are helping women too. So I encourage women, if they can't get to an Access office, then to get in touch with the churches, because the churches are also doing a program called Walking with Moms, and most of them are involved. And if not, they can get in touch with Access, and we can help. There's an outreach that we're really structuring now and doing much more, trying to help women at this time. And just for information, definitely, too, you know, we don't hear much in the media about what's out there for women since Roe v. Wade has been overturned. All we hear about is that there is, you know, how bad it is, and women can't get abortions, and this is terrible because their rights have been taken away. And, of course, the Roe v. Wade right that they had was a right that they never should have had, because it was not founded on any constitutional basis. And so we're only back to where we were 50 years ago, and where the law should be, which is that each state is going to determine what their law regarding abortion is. And of course, we feel that's not where it should be. We would like to see abortion outlawed throughout our country as a federal issue, that just as murder is wrong, basically, and it's immoral, abortion is also. But we have to deal with what we have to deal with. And now it's working at the state level, trying to outlaw abortion in every state. But there are over 40 pregnancy counseling centers in Louisiana. And you never read that in the paper. You never hear that in the media. But there are 40 groups in our state alone.
So wow. Sharon Rohde, oh my gosh. I feel like I have to take notes. Everything you said is we appreciate, and thank you so much for all this wonderful information. You've answered all of my questions without me even asking a single one. And so I appreciate you joining us today. Of course, Sharon Rohde, board member of Access Pregnancy. One more time, that website where we can go to find out how we can register for the Jazzin Jubilee 50th plus year anniversary of Access,
which is on Thursday, September 15th at Metairie Country Club. And you can register at ccano.org/50th anniversary. ccano.org/50th anniversary. Or call 504-832-1503. And we hope to see many of you there. Thank you very much, Gabby. Nice talking with you.
Thank you. Good to talk to you too, Sharon. It's so good to have you with us. And what a wonderful segue, because when we come back from the break, we're talking to Margaret Miller in the Diocese of Biloxi. She's going to be talking about the Walking with Moms in Needs. This is a wonderful process in the Diocese of Biloxi, and it's quickly gaining traction. I've been hearing more and more about it, so it's going to be really good. Also, real quick, I know when we come back, we're going to have time, because I want to talk about the Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center event, Heroes of Faith with Steve Ray. I'm going to link that event in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. Definitely take a look, because Steve Ray is coming to the area this month, September 10th, Saturday, September 10th at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center. Definitely check that out. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Top of the Thursday morning to you, the first day of September. Holy moly, it's moving fast. So glad you could join us. And with us now is Margaret Miller, parishioner at St. Alphonsus in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. And she's with the Diocese of Biloxi, here to talk about a relatively new ministry that is out there called Walking with Moms in Need. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
So glad Blessings you could.
To you.
Yes. So glad you could join us this morning. Share with us a little bit about Walking with Moms in Need, because our listeners may not be totally familiar with the ministry that actually began, what, about 2 years ago or so?
It did. In fact, I had shown some interest before COVID, and they were going to nationally kick off the Walking with Moms. It's a program that was put together by our United States Conference of Bishops. And then, like so many other things, COVID hit, and it was decided that we would put this breakthrough event off to some degree. It has changed also over the last couple of years. Originally, it was to put together, and still is, an all-important resource for our folks here in the state of Mississippi, but also for others, and most especially for moms in need. Mm-hmm. And so recently, as we reactivated Walking with Moms in Need, we've targeted the Walking with Moms. And that means currently I'm walking with two mothers. One has had her child and is running into some difficulties, and the other's expecting a baby later this fall. So walking with them, resources, and helping in all ways possible to assist them in keeping their child.
Yes, by all means. And ever since, abortion has been overturned, it seems like this program has become a lot more front and center. How much of a need is there at this point in time? Do you find that women are a little more accepting, and how many women are we talking about when you hear the numbers of how many have had abortions? Seems like, are you guys going to be able to handle the needs of these women who are expecting, or moms who just had children?
I remind myself, and this is a little off topic, but not at all, and that is that our Blessed Mother had an unexpected pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And most often I'll open up with that in a prayer as I speak to people that are ready and willing to help. And that means even financially. I had the opportunity with my granddaughter, who's 17, living in Austin, Texas, and she was found out she was pregnant one morning and contacted the John Paul II Life Center in Austin, and they're still walking with her. And our little great grandson Leo is still in that program, as is my granddaughter. And so it's, wow. Yes, the need is there. It's tremendous need. We also have a great need for those mothers that are in the thousands and thousands that have had abortions and that aftermath of that. So we're doing all that we can, and yes, things are growing. There's more need than ever.
So where are the funds coming from?
In most cases, particularly in the state of Mississippi, they're coming from caring people, folks that are donating. The KSC is a great resource. Their auxiliary women have been a wonderful funder, actual money that has been given to the Diocese of Biloxi. Also, there is a national program that Austin, Texas, the state of Texas, uses, so that funds actually can come from the state of Mississippi, and they have from the state of Texas. It's something we want to look into and hopefully a source of some real funding, money, cash that some of these women are so in need of.
We're speaking with Margaret Miller, who is with St. Alphonsus Church Parish in Ocean Springs, about walking with moms in need. Now, this ministry is nationwide now. More and more churches, church parishes, because it's a grassroots effort, isn't it? And how does one get one started if their church parish hasn't established a walking with moms in need program?
It's relatively easy. They have all sorts of resources that they can provide. And one of the things that we're working on in Mississippi in the Biloxi Diocese is the month of October. And that is and has been for years and years since those early days, the month of Respect Life. Mm-hmm. And the first Sunday, which I believe this year is October the 2nd, is always Respect Life Month. Again, we're hoping that more and more individual parishes will begin to participate so that no mother that needs assistance is left behind. And again, it's a parish grassroots, and in Ocean Springs at St. Alphonsus and also through the diocese, we have full support of our bishop, Bishop Kinnaman, and we're moving ahead quickly, and yet we're not doing enough. And the big thing, too, I want to emphasize is prayer. There are many, many days that we have Eucharistic adoration at St. Alphonsus that I have a group of about 15 people that join me in prayer. That continues to be important. There's so many uses of your church bulletin, your newspaper, your Catholic newspaper. One person getting involved is wonderful. 10 people getting involved, even better. And we're on our way at St. Alphonsus and in this ministry to having about 25 people, men and women, who are there to support, not only financially, but with their time and prayers.
Yeah, it's amazing. You would think that mainly women would be part of this ministry, but just as important are men.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is, again, kind of a forgotten.
You kind of take the role of St. Joseph, right?
Right. Absolutely. And the Holy Family. And so it is a wonderful thing to see men in the group, and they have a wonderful perspective on things, particularly the resources that I've accumulated over the last 2 years for places to go and people to help. So that no woman is standing on her own and perhaps as a result choosing abortion, which is still an unbelievable opportunity, I guess, really, for all of us that are in this Walking with Moms in Need ministry.
Yeah. Well, Margaret Miller, thank you so much for the good works that you're doing in the Biloxi Diocese, and thank you for being with us on Wake Up. God bless you, and we will keep you in our prayers.
Okay, thank you so much.
All righty. And I think the thing to keep in mind is the fact that the Walking with Moms in Need program isn't going to replace pregnancy centers.
Oh, right.
They're working
right.
with
Absolutely.
Them. They're there to assist.
Yeah.
And we've got an event you wanted to mention before we wrap up this morning, right, Gabby?
Yes, Alicia, Cypress Springs Mercenary and Prayer Center is having Steve Ray join them quite soon to talk about the Heroes of Faith event.
Yep, on September 11th, we had Steve on the show earlier this week, and it's wonderful to have him in Baton Rouge. That will be September 11th. You can go to Cypress Springs Mercenary and Prayer Center website to find out more about that event. But it'll be great. $60 for the day, including a continental breakfast and lunch and mass. And Steve Ray.
For just $60?
You heard it right.
You get all that?
You heard it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a steal.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up with a prayer to our Blessed Mother in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Mother, you receive the good news of the incarnation of Christ, your Son, with faith and trust. Grant your protection to all pregnant mothers facing difficulties. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. The Knights of Columbus join us. David Scotton with the Life Mark movie and a movie ticket giveaway. You definitely want to stay tuned. We're giving away a pair of multiple tickets to go see this movie. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.